But Colossians chapter 3, and we're just going to read just a few verses because I know we've been standing for a moment. But here's what it says in verse 1. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So if you have been raised with Christ, verse 3, jump now. For you died, and your life now is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. I want to preach from this theme and thought as we continue part 2 of our Game Changer series. I want to preach from this thought. I'm built different. I'm built different. I want you to look at a person beside you and tell them, I'm built different. Find somebody else around you. Tell them, you're built different. Write it in the chat. I'm built different. Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your word. We thank you for all that our eyes have seen and ears have heard thus far today. I pray, God, that you would minister to our hearts, that you would renew our minds, that we would come out of today's worship experience having known you better, and that our lives would take fruit as a result of it. We thank you and we love you in Jesus' name. And every person said amen. Amen. You can be seated. I'm built different. Family, one of the things that happened during March Madness, during the college basketball season, especially as the Final Four came about and as the championship round came about, as you always know, that there's always these different commercials that are being aired during this time, especially some of the newer commercials that have new products and new things that businesses and companies want you to buy. And in the midst of all these different commercials that were being displayed and that were being aired during the college basketball season, during the Final Four and the championship round, there was one commercial that began to get my attention. And it was a commercial done by GMC, who was advertising the new Hummer. And if you don't know anything about it, I want you to go online after today's worship experience is done, and I want you to Google the new Hummer. They call it the GMC EV Hummer, the all-electric vehicle Hummer. They're calling it a super truck. And the reason why they're calling it a super truck is because it is all-electric, no gas. It goes from 0 to 60 miles per hour in 3 seconds. It has up to 18 different camera angles for you to be able to back in and to be able to also see what's in front of you. But none of those features is what caught my eye. What caught my eye was a feature of the Hummer that I had never seen before, called the crab walk feature. And the crab walk feature of the Hummer is the feature where not just the front two wheels of the Hummer may turn in a direction, but all four wheels can turn in the same direction. And the reason why they call it the crab walk is because when all four wheels turn in a certain degree of direction, it causes the vehicle, the Hummer itself, to be able to drive diagonal while still driving straight. And specifically, if you go YouTube the commercial after it's done, some of y'all gonna go look this thing up as soon as it's over. Specifically, when it came to parking and parking in a tight spot, they talked about how if you find yourself in a tight jam, turn on the crab walk feature and you will be able to diagonally park yourself. And not only is it diagonal in nature, but if you hit the feature, it on its own does not need your help. It can park itself all by itself. And when I saw this crab walk feature, when I saw this, I said something that many people say when they see something operating in an uncommon way or someone doing something that just seems unnatural for the average person. I said these words: this Hummer is built different. This built different. This ain't normal. Somebody say, this ain't normal. I thought about that as well last night when I was watching Steph Curry play and drop by 47 points and hitting these unbelievable shots. I'm standing in front of the TV like this, shaking my head like a good old school Baptist preacher when preaching get good. this boy right here is built different. It's built different because it's doing something that's not ordinary. It's doing something that's different than what we normally see on a day in, day out basis. There is no other vehicle on the market that does what the GMC EV Hummer is currently doing at this time, because it's built different. And that brings us to Colossians chapter 3. Because here in Colossians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul is writing to believers here who are being influenced by culture around them. Paul was writing to the believers in Colossae under the backdrop of all these different philosophies that were popular during the day in that time. Philosophies like Gnosticism, which is this belief system that the more knowledge you have, then that will lead to your salvation. Beliefs like asceticism, meaning that if you just deny the physical pleasures of life, it will also lead to salvation. Then beliefs like mysticism, which was an obsession with supernatural or mystical experience. We would classify that today as things like Ouija boards and palm reading and people wanting to have all these angelic encounters and the like. And what was happening in the church was this had creeped into the church, and it had begun to challenge in the minds of believers what Paul talks about in Colossians 1, the supremacy of Christ. Because what people were doing was they were elevating all of these different philosophical, cultural ideas higher than the knowledge of Christ, things that were not rooted in Scripture. They were elevating them higher than Jesus and his salvific work through the cross and his resurrection. And as I think about what Paul was addressing the church with back in this first century Greco-Roman context, I said, man, that's very similar to today. Because just as the church was being influenced in Paul's time by false doctrines and philosophies in his day, I believe that the body of Christ today has also been influenced by the beliefs and influence of the day that are not rooted in Scripture. Beliefs like what, Pastor Edwin? Philosophies like what? Philosophies like what many call hedonism. Somebody say hedonism. Which means doing anything I please, doing anything that makes me feel good. Or secularism, which means there is no type of recognition for who God is. Edging God out. And I believe, family, that today, that the church, instead of standing out, is in many ways blending in because of how we live our lives. Our habits, our practices. And unfortunately, because our lives are being influenced by the doctrines of the day, we are unfulfilled, we are anxious, we're bound by fear, we're experiencing relational corrosion and the like. Ultimately, we are not living the abundant life that Jesus came to give us and that he desires that we live out. Let me say it like this. When we do what culture does, we get what culture has. When we do what culture does, we get what culture has. But notice what Paul says here in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. He says, since then you have been raised with Christ. Somebody say with Christ. It's a phrase that Paul uses in almost every single one of his 13 letters that he writes to different people and to different churches. He's always mentioning with Christ or in Christ. And here's what Paul means by saying, since you've been raised with Christ. He says, since you've been raised with Christ, or in other words, you have been made alive because of Jesus Christ, which means this. Prior to me coming to know Jesus, if I am a follower of Christ here today and watching online, prior to me coming to know Jesus, I was what the Bible says in Ephesians 2, spiritually dead because of my sin. I was spiritually separated and disconnecting from God. That's what the Bible means when it talks about spiritual death. I have no connection to God, and he is the life source. So because I have no connection to God, I am spiritually dead. That's what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2. But around verse 4 and verse 5, but the Bible says it like this. But God, who is rich in mercy, made you alive in Christ Jesus. He took you from death to life. In other words, let me say it like this for some of us who may not understand it in this way, but in a theological way, but in a cultural way. Way before Allen Iverson came up with the sick move known as the crossover, Jesus was the original one who performed the ultimate crossover. He took you from death to life. He took you from being separated from God to now being joined with God. He says, you are spiritually dead, and God raised you up. Here's another emphasis on this. It means that you did nothing, I did nothing, we did nothing to make ourselves come alive. It was all because of God and his love expressed through Jesus Christ that he forgave us of all of our sins, past, present, and future. He took us from death and he brought us to life, not because of our goodness, but because of his. He made us alive. Paul says it like this in 2 Corinthians 5. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Somebody say new creation. That means if you're in Christ, you are no longer who you used to be. You got a new identity. And then he says this, the old has passed away, and see, the new has come. Everything is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us this ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, watch this, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins or trespasses against them. Pause. If he didn't count it against them, who did he count against? Jesus. Jesus took upon himself your sin and mine, your trespass and mine, your iniquity and mine, your stank and my stank, your ugly and my ugly. We were jacked up, we were toe up, but Jesus stepped in and took the brunt of the penalty of our sin, which was death. And watch this, he says, he's committed the message of reconciliation to us. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. This is my favorite verse right here, probably in the whole Bible. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You want to know the scripture that radically transformed my life? It was this one right here. Because it means that I was one way, but now because of what Christ has done for me, I'm completely different. I'm not who I used to be anymore. But Pastor Edwin, I don't feel new. Here's what I want you to understand. If you trust in Jesus, it don't matter what you feel. It matters what's true. You are new. You are a new creature. He's made you into a new creature. When I think about this, I think about a moment that me and my oldest, Josiah, we were having a moment this week. I was helping him do some homework, and he asked me to help him do something. And the assignment that he was doing was examining the life stage of a caterpillar moving to a butterfly. And he had to match up the pictures and show the sequential order in which the caterpillar would ultimately be transformed. And I'm sure many of us in here know that process, that caterpillar starts, it starts in an egg, hatches, becomes a caterpillar, crawls on leaves, eats, and then eventually goes through this process where now a cocoon is formed and is now in a cocoon. But in that cocoon, there is a transformation taking place. We would call it, there is a metamorphosis that is taking place. And then by the time this caterpillar comes out of that cocoon, it is now a butterfly. Which helps us to understand something about what Paul is saying here. That you were once a caterpillar, but then you were buried in a cocoon. It's a picture of baptism in Christ. That Jesus went into the tomb one way, but he came out something completely different. And what Paul says, since you have been raised with Christ, he says you went in one way, but you came out something completely different. In other words, you are not who you used to be. So now we see the caterpillar as a brand new creature. So now when we see a butterfly flying around, do we ever say these words? Look at that flying caterpillar. Look at that beautiful flying caterpillar right there. Look at her, look at her, look at the color. No, what do you say? Look at that butterfly. Because you recognize that there has been a transformation process. It has gone through a metamorphosis. It was one thing and now has become something entirely new and something entirely different, which pushes back against language like this that we may say about ourselves. I'm just a sinner. But I want you to understand something. If you're in Christ, you are not a sinner any longer. You are now a saint in Christ Jesus. You might be a saint who has some lapses. You may be a saint who falls short every now and then. You may be a child of God who has some blunders, but you are no longer who you used to be. So no longer do we say things like, you know, I'm just human. No, you're more than that. You're a new creature. You're different. Somebody say, I'm built different. You've been saved by grace. You're no longer a child. Here's what Jesus says. He says to the Pharisees, your father is not God the Father. Your father is the devil. But he says, when you come and give your life to me, you're no longer a son of the devil. Now you're a son of God. Now you're a daughter of God. You are part of the family of God, which means he's forgiven all of your sin, past, present, and future. He's given you a new life, and you're no longer who you used to be. And because of the resurrection of Jesus, you now have new life in Christ. And I just want to know, is there anybody online and in person who is grateful that in Jesus all your sin has been washed away? All the mistakes that you will ever make have been covered by the blood. And the resurrection family is a game changer because it brings us from death to life. And so now as followers of Jesus, we are now new creatures. Somebody say new creatures, which means this. This is what I wanted to get to. As a new creature, my life is to look different because I've been built different. Let me say it like this. You and I are meant and should be carrying a residue from the resurrection. Since you've been raised with Christ, there should be some resemblance of that resurrection on your life. You know one of the things that I love more than anything else in this world? I love my family. I love Jesus. Jesus family. You know, I love you all, spiritual family. But you want to know one of the things that I love more than anything else on this earth? It's going to weird you out. You're going to be like, Pastor, you got a problem. I know. I'm just saying that up front. You know what I love maybe more than anything else on this planet next to all the, you know, things I already said? I do love Teddy Grahams, but it's gonna weird you out. I love the smell of new shoes. Also in that same vein, I love the smell of a new car. Feel like the Rock. Do you smell? I love this. I love it because it communicates something is different about it. It hasn't been worn before. It's new. And you can't just go anywhere and get this smell. It comes from the manufacturer. It's different. The smell communicates that something is different, something is new. And when I think about this, I think about Jesus when he resurrected Lazarus from the grave in John chapter 11. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. And one of the things that the people said was that because he was dead, there was an odor about him because he had been laid up in a tomb for 4 days because he was dead. Why is this so important? Because dead things give off an odor, but new things give off an aroma. And the question I want to ask us is this today. As we are new people in Christ, is my life giving an aroma or is it giving off an odor? Does your life give off the impression, it smells so good and people want to be around it? Or when people around you, they make the stank face. Got a little bit of spiritual must in your life. Stank attitude. Stanky mouth. Oh boy, it's getting tight now. Because if I'm in Christ, that's what Paul's talking about. If I've been raised with Christ, then that means it should impact how I live. And let me say it like this, because I think there's a notion in culture and even in Christian culture today that we celebrate the fact that Jesus has saved us from our sins. So we love the idea that Jesus is our Savior. but we don't like the idea of him being our Lord. Those are two different things. Savior means he's rescued us from our sin. Lord means he dictates how I live my life. And what I've come to find out is that the Savior Jesus is much more popular than Jesus Lord. Let me say it like this, that the one who has authority to raise your life is the one who is to have authority to rule your life. If he raised you up from the dead, like we profess, this for those of us who call ourselves Christians, right? If he raised us up and we have an understanding of the grace of God in our life, then that means that he gets to call the shots as to how we are to live our lives. That as people of God, as followers of Jesus, we carry the name of Jesus on our lives. And when I think about that, I think about how a few weeks ago here at Easter, we gave out these car decals for the church. And if you didn't get one, we got some in the hallway area. Get one, put it on your car, rock, all that good stuff. And we finally put ours on a few days ago, about last week this time, I think. And Errol and I were talking, like, man, you know, when you put this on the car, you can't just drive any old way. Come on, somebody. We got the church logo and Bridge Church, so you can't just be cutting people off. And, you know, I can't just be driving past nobody and, you know, upset and doing all this, you know, like, because of what's on my car, because of the name that's on my car. And when Paul says you've been raised with Christ, here's what he's saying. You got the name of Jesus on your life. So you can't just drive in your way. You can't just live in your way. Y'all remember the scripture, for those of us who know a little bit about the Bible, in Exodus, about one of the things that God told the children of Israel. After he set them free, he gave them the Ten Commandments. In other words, after he set them free from the bondage bondage to Pharaoh and to Egypt, which represents spiritually, ultimately, Satan, his kingdom of darkness, sin, death, the evil. After he set them free, then he gave them the way of how to live their new life. And one of the things that he said is, do not take my name in vain. And oftentimes, we equate that simply to using profane words with the name of God, GD, things of that nature. That's not what he was just talking about. We shouldn't do that, but it's a lot more to that. God is saying, don't take my name in vain. In other words, if you have my name, live up to it. Because you carrying my name. It's not just like, it ain't just you now. You reference my name. So because you got my name, and I don't play around with my name, because my name will get you in some places. My name will open up some doors. At my name, the name of Jesus, every knee must bow, every tongue must confess. So he says, if you got my name on you, you can't just do what you want to do any longer. Paul says it like this in Ephesians 4:1, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. 2 Corinthians, I'm going to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. We celebrate the fact that we're a new creature in Christ. But you know what Paul said right before that, verse 15? He says this, and he died for all so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for the one who died for them and was raised. Which means this, now that I've been raised with Christ and I've received Jesus into my life, I don't live the way that I used to live any longer. Because the resurrection of Jesus is the ultimate game changer in that it changes how we are to live, because ultimately it changes our lives for the better. And because we're in Christ, family, we got to look like Christ. Talk like him. Act like him. I can't claim to follow Jesus, family, and not look like him, talk like him, love like him. Here's what Paul says again in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. I'm teaching y'all today, so keep on writing. He says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life, your old self, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. And verse 24 says it like this, and to put on the new self, the one created according, watch this, to God's likeness, or to be like God, in true righteousness and, this is a cuss word right now in the church, holiness. That word right there, when we start talking about living holy, it get a little uncomfortable. Because we live in a culture that says do whatever it is that you want. But Paul says, nah, fam, you got the name of Christ on your life. You can't just live however you want to live. We're called to be a people that are righteous and called to live holy. And we've been given the Spirit of God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that the same power that raised Jesus from the grave now lives on the inside of you if you've made the decision to receive Christ. The same resurrection power that got Jesus up out of the grave has now raised you up from death to life and now enables you and empowers you to live a holy life. That's the game changer. So in other words, you're not doing it on your own. You're doing it by the power of the Holy Spirit. And what God calls us to do now is to walk it out. Somebody say walk it out. Why? Because I'm built different. You built different. Paul says it like this in Philippians chapter 2. He says, therefore, my dear friends, just as you have always obeyed, so now not only in my presence, but even more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is working in you both to will and to act according to his good purpose. The resurrection of Jesus causes us to live differently because you built different. I'm built different. And part of me living in a way that honors God means I got to be in this dance, in this rhythm of doing two things that I want to give us today. We are to be in this rhythm of abandoning vices and adopting virtues. We are to be in this rhythm, not because we're in Christ. Now, if you're not in Christ, this won't apply to you. But if you're a follower of Jesus, right? I'm not just talking about, like, I just go to church. I'm talking about, like, you follow Christ. You've made it a profession of faith. You asked him to come and save you from your sin. We shout about it. We celebrate it. Now, because of that, this is how we are called to live out this life. Abandon vices, adopt virtues. Notice what Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, around verse 4, verse 5. He says this, therefore, put to death what belongs to your earthly nature. I'm going to read this. It's going to get a little tight because all of us are in this list. All of us. Myself. All of us. Somebody say all of us. So don't look to your neighbor and be like, that's you. Like, no. Focus on yourself. Because you up in here too. Notice what he says. It gets tight. Buckle up. Therefore, put to death what belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, God's wrath is coming upon the disobedient. And you once walked in these things when you were living in them. But now put away all the following. Here's where we get real. Anger, wrath, malice. I don't got time to go through all these individually. You got to look it up on your own. Slander and filthy language from your mouth. Let me translate it. Cussing. Gossip. Slander. The Bible has in mind all these things. Do not lie to one another, since you have what? Put off the old self with its practices, and I put on the new self. You are being renewed in knowledge according to the image of your Creator. In Christ, there is not Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all. What is a vice, Pastor Evan? A vice is a sin. It is ungodliness. And I want you to understand something about vices. Vices always lead to an unfulfilled life. All these things that you notice here in this passage of Scripture, here's what I want you to understand. These things in here, family, have ruined relationships. They have ruined homes. They have ruined lives. And when he tells us to put these things away, he says, matter of fact, he doesn't say just say, take it off. He says, put it to death. And do you know what language this resonates with? That of the crucifixion. He says, execute it. Get rid of it. Die to your flesh. Kill your flesh. In other words, die to these impulses. Die to these temptations that come. Abandon these things. Here's what I want us to understand. Kill it or it will kill you. And it may not necessarily kill you physically, and some of the cases it can, but it will kill off relationships. It can kill off some potential. It can kill off some opportunities. All of these things that Paul says, I want you to abandon these things because this is not who you are anymore. That's who you used to be. Let me kind of give us a strong admonition as your pastor. Do not procrastinate or negotiate with your sin. No, you can't negotiate with it. You got to kill it. There's a story in the Old Testament with this guy, young dude by the name of Joseph, and he was working in a palace, and his boss, his wife, made some advances to him. And Potiphar's wife, Potiphar was somebody high ranking in Egypt at that time, which means his wife was very obviously attractive, and many people would have longed for the opportunity to be with her. And here this woman is making advances at Joseph, but Joseph, who's a man of God and understands, if I do this, I'm not just sinning against you, I'm sinning against God. You know what Joseph did? He ran. I'm out of here, girl. You ain't gonna get me all hemmed up. And then she came back and made another advance at him. You know what he did again? Ran again. Run, Joe, run. He gives us a picture of what it is that we're supposed to be doing with our vices and the temptations when they come. We run away from them. We kill them. We die to them. We get rid of things that are not of God. Why? Because you are alive in Christ. And because you're alive in Christ, here's what God was wanting us to do. He wants you to take off these grave clothes. That's who you used to be. I want to go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 through 31. Because Paul kind of, in many ways, as he's saying this in Colossians 3, he kind of says the same thing in Colossians 4. He says, therefore, putting away lying, speak the truth, each one to his neighbor, because we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't give the devil an opportunity. Next verse, in verse 28, he says this, let the thief no longer steal. Instead, he is to be an honest worker with his own hands so that he has something to share with anyone in need. And Paul, here come Paul again with this one. No foul language. Obviously, the church had a problem with cussing. Because he's saying this multiple times. And says it, watch this here, to different churches. y'all ain't helping me. I can see what maybe we're struggling with today. He says this to the church of Colossae, and he says this to the church of Ephesus. He says, no foul language should come from your mouth. No profanity, no F-bombs, none of that. No slander, no gossip, no lying, but only what is good for building up someone in need so that it gives grace to those who hear. And here's the most important thing as to why we take off this old self. He says in verse 30, and don't grieve God's Holy Spirit. You were sealed by him for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, anger, and wrath, shouting, and slander be removed from you along with all malice. Y'all, Paul is laying it on thick. Verse 8 in chapter 5, he says this, jumping ahead. He says, for you were once darkness, but now, some of y'all didn't get that, you are light in the Lord. Watch this. Please hear this, family. Live as children of the light. Live as children of the light. Let's go to verse 11, Ephesians, back in Ephesians chapter 5. Let's bring that scripture back up. Because what Paul is wanting us to understand is that there is a certain way that you and I are supposed to live. I gotta abandon these vices. I gotta live according to the word of God. Now, this is not one of the messages, family. I'm gonna just be real with you. This one of the messages, it's not popular. This ain't the type of message that fill up churches and that get a whole lot of restreams and shares and comments and likes. Because what gets the likes and the attention of people nowadays is you're going to be blessed in 50 days with $1 million check in the mail. What we love to hear is what one of my mentors calls popcorn preaching. We like candy preaching. The stuff that tastes good, but the stuff that corrodes our insides. He says, no. Paul's saying, listen, you got to abandon these vices. Why? Because the vices we won't confront today are the vices that will corrode us tomorrow. You got to abandon it. Paul says like this, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 2. He says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. And then he says this, this is your true and proper worship. In other words, true worship isn't singing a song to God. It's living a life for God. Worship is not about a song. Worship is about a lifestyle. But Pastor Edwin, you're trying to say I'm perfect. No, God doesn't call us to perfection. He calls us to live holy. He takes care of the perfection part. We are already perfect in Christ, meaning we are in a perfect relationship with God through faith in Christ. Our response to that, he says, now you got to live holy because you got my name and you got my spirit on the inside of you. In other words, I want you to act like it, and I want you to live like it. Let me say it like this. Stop living like a dead person. You're alive in Christ. You're more than what you actually say you are. Pastor Edwin, it's so hard, man. When temptation comes, it's so hard. Do you think if God could get Jesus up out of the grave and beat death, you don't think he can give you strength to be able to overcome? If we're going to say we really believe the gospel and we really believe Jesus, then now that should shape and change how we live. But God knows my heart. How many of y'all have ever said that? I know I have. But God knows my heart. Well, you did something you weren't supposed to do? Or y'all don't want to tell the truth today? Y'all don't want to be honest today? But God knows my heart. You're right. And he knows that it's wicked. That's why the Bible says in Jeremiah 17, above all things, the heart is deceitful. So that means that there's some areas in my heart that I may not be aware of that have the potential to take me out. But God knows my heart. I used to say that all the time. I had to stop saying it. Why is this so important? I was talking with my barber yesterday. I was going over this sermon here and I always talk about it and chopping it up. And he said this, and I'm going to say it to you. He said it like this. The reason why this is so important to understand is because what's in you abundantly will come out eventually. What's in you abundantly will come out eventually. Fam, do you realize that 2020 was more than just COVID? It was the year of exposure. And a true faith is not a true faith if it has not first been tested. And all of us, myself included, God maybe revealed some stuff to us about ourselves and our walk with him. For those of us who call ourselves followers of Jesus, I thought I was actually better off in this area than I was, but I guess I'm not. I thought I was a little bit more mature, but I realized when the pressure got turned up, I wasn't. Anybody had moments like that last year as a believer and follower of Christ? If you ain't raising your hand, you're lying. Because if I were to go on some of your social media feeds, because out of the heart, the mouth speaks and the thumb's tight. Y'all ain't helping me today. Oh, y'all ain't helping me. He says you're built different. That means you're called to live different. And that means that I don't misuse the grace of God. The church in Rome had an issue with this because their understanding was, well, hey, if Jesus forgave us of all of our sins, then no matter what we do, good or bad, we're forgiven. So why don't we just run up the sin bill because Jesus has covered it? And here's what Paul says to that. Should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? He says, of course not. Since we've died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that we were joined with Christ in baptism, joined with him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. How many of y'all have ever done something that you know was not of God and you said, man, he'll forgive me anyway though? I know ain't nobody gonna admit that. I mean, God, you know, I mean, he forgives me all my sins. You've been forgiven is not a license for us just to live recklessly. It means that we live in a way that honors God. And before I move on to this next point, I want to spend just a quick second talking about what Paul says in verse 11 back in Colossians chapter 3, our main verse. He says, in Christ there's not Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is in all. He is all and he is in all. When we read this from a cursory view, many of us may not understand what Paul is saying, but here's what ultimately Paul is saying. Because of Jesus, racism has been dealt the death blow. Ethnocentrism has been dealt the death blow. Classism has been dealt a death blow. Because now, church family, he says, because you are now in Christ, you are the model to the world what unity looks like. That the church should model what wholeness and what unity and what peace and what reconciliation looks like. Why? Because we have been reconciled to God and now have also been reconciled to one another. And Paul spent so much time throughout all his letters saying things like there's neither Jew nor Greek. Why? Because people were constantly making distinctions among themselves. People were constantly saying that if you're a Jew, you're better than the Gentile. If you're a Gentile, you're better than the Jew. And Jesus says, at the foot of the cross, the ground is level. we are all one in Christ Jesus, which is why the church should have the only moral high ground in a time like today to speak to the racial injustice that we see, the division that we see, because in Christ Jesus, he's already dealt with it. And what God is telling the church today to do is act like I've already dealt with it. That's what he's saying. So as the church, we don't be silent when we see racism happening. As the church, we're not silent when we see misogyny happening. As the church, we're not silent when injustice is happening. No. We walk as children of the light. We live out this life. And I don't know if you're like me, when I look at this list and I look at all the stuff that Paul says abandon, it's convicting. And it should. It should be convicting because God is calling us to mature and to grow. Not to just stay at a place where Jesus forgave me of my sin. Now what you gonna do about it? Live like it. Act like it. Talk like it. Love like it. But then he moves to this thought. Not just abandoning vices, but also adopt virtues. Verses 12 through 17. He says, therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and dearly loved, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a grievance against another. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, watch this, you are also to forgive others. Just as God forgave you, you also are to forgive others. But Pastor Elwin, you don't know what they did. You're right, but God does, and he still tells you to forgive. Why? Because he forgave you, and he forgave me. He says a mark of a true believer in Christ is that we forgive people. We don't hold grudges. We don't operate in passive-aggressive ways. We forgive. I'm not saying forget. It's almost impossible for you to forget what happened. But he is saying, I want you to forgive, which means you're no longer holding it against them. Because here's what you don't understand. Forgiveness not only brings the opportunity for the relationship to be reconciled, but more importantly, forgiveness is what sets you free. So you're not carrying bitterness around in your heart. But then he says this in the next verse, above all, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity, and let the peace of Christ, to which you were also called in one body, rule your hearts and be thankful. Watch this, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell richly among you in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts, and whatever you do in word or deed, watch this, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Paul says, because you are now in Christ, I want you to act like Jesus acted. Jesus was loving. He was compassionate. He was forgiving. He was patient. He was kind. He was gentle. Paul says it like this in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. He says, therefore, be imitators of God as dearly loved children. You know, one of the things that's so astounding as a parent is I see my kids doing a lot of things that I do. Copying my behavior. Saying things that I say. I remember one time we were playing basketball recently, and I heard my youngest say something, and I was like, dude, where you get that from? Oh, yeah, I do say that. Ooh, I blocked your shot, son. Like, where did you? Oh, yeah, I did, yep. That's what I say when I block y'all shots. Paul says, as dearly loved children, imitate your daddy. Act like your daddy. And walk in love as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us, a sacrificial, watch this, and fragrant offering to God, which means I'm adopting the right perspective, I'm adopting the right practices, I'm adopting the right posture. I like what Pastor Rich Velota says. I want to say this in closing. He says, the best witness we have as the church is not our good music or slick productions, but our transformed lives. The best witness to this world, family, is not our music. It's not lights. Those things are great. It's not production. That's great. It's our transformed lives. That is our best witness. And the question I want to ask us today as the body of Christ, ask myself too, is what would happen in our communities if Christians would act like Jesus? What would happen if we actually lived like Jesus and adopted these virtues? Because virtue leads to fulfillment. Virtue is what leads to an abundant life. And in John 10:10, Jesus says it like this, a thief comes only to steal and kill destroyed. But I have come that they may have life and have it in abundance. I want you to understand something, family. Living the resurrection life is a life of abundance. The one thing that the enemy wants to do is he wants to rob you of that abundance by having you live any old way. But I want you to understand something, church family. If you don't get anything out of this, you are built different. He's called you. He saved you. He's created you. He's given you a path. He's given you a purpose. He's given you a new destiny. He's taken you from death to life. You are built different. And he says, I want you to live like it. I'm built different. Somebody say, I'm built different. Which means I no longer have to go back to my old way of living. I no longer have to talk like how I used to talk. I no longer have to go to the websites that I used to go to. I no longer have to cuss people out like I used to. I am different now. I no longer have to get high off a blunt. I no longer have to get drunk with wine or drunk with alcohol. I am different now. There's something different about me. I talk different. I act different. I look different. I love different because I am a new creature in Christ. Difference. He's transformed you. He's made you new. Do we fall short? Yes, we do. And God gives grace for that. But then he gives that grace to enable us to live according to the truth. So in the scriptures, there's this story in John chapter 8, and there's this woman who was caught in the act of adultery, and people wanted to stone her and condemn her for what she did. Now, I want you to understand something. What she did according to the word of God meant that she needed to be stoned. But Jesus comes up on the scene after they ask him, teacher, what should we do? And he says it like this, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. One by one, everybody walked away, starting with the oldest. I always found it to be interesting because the oldest should be able to be more self-aware of their brokenness than anybody else. And the Bible says one by one, they left. And then it's just Jesus and her. And he says, is anybody here to condemn you? She says, no one. He says, neither do I. Now, I want you to understand something, family. Remember Jesus' words, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. If anybody could have cast the first stone, it would have been him because he was the only one there without sin. But he didn't. What did he give her? Grace. Thank God for his grace, somebody. But watch what he says next. Neither do I. Go and sin no more. Grace and truth. Not an either or thing, a both and. And in our culture, even in churches all around the world, all around the country, even maybe how some of us have been discipled, we are either heavy on grace. Oh, God knows your heart. It's okay. Jesus is forgiving you. Yes, that's true. Or it's an opposite. Man, you need to live right. You need to do this. You need to do that. And those things are right too. But what happens oftentimes is we pick sides. And God says, no, I embody both. It's both grace and truth. Grace is what forgives me of all the things that I will ever do. But it also enables me to live right and to honor God. Messages like these, church family, aren't that popular because it now begins to cut to the very fabric of some of the dysfunction that's in our lives. But I want you to understand, Jesus says in his word, and you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And some of us have been praying for freedom in our lives. And I hear God speaking to you today. In Christ Jesus, I've already made you free. Now you got to go live it out. Live it out. Because how would this world ever know what Jesus looks like if the people who claim to have his name don't live up to it? And I don't know about you, family. I'm past the point where we have artificial Christianity. We don't need that. We need authentic Christianity. We need people who say, I'm going to pick up my cross and follow Jesus like he says in Luke 9. I'm gonna deny my own flesh. That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9. After I preach to all of y'all, I beat my body into submission so that I don't get disqualified. Paul is saying, listen, the same gospel I'm preaching to you to honor God and to steward the grace on your life the right way and to live right, I do it myself. That's what he's calling us to. And I believe, church family, if we do this, we can actually live up to what Jesus says in Matthew 5. You are salt and light. You can be a light to the world now because how you live. So here's what I want us to understand. All of us in here, you're built different if you're a follower of Christ, which means your marriage should look different than everybody else in culture. Yes, you may have disagreements, but the way you have disagreements is completely different than those who don't know Jesus. as a teenager, I should be looking a little bit different compared to teenagers who may not know Christ. If I own a business, I should be functioning in my business according to kingdom ethics, not cultural ones. I can't claim to know Jesus but then swindle people at the same time. I'm called to live different. I'm called to be different. I'm built different. Somebody say, I'm built different. And I need you to get this in your heart. Because if we're going to change the world, fam, it starts with us understanding I'm built different. So I don't talk like I used to talk. So when people see you and they say, man, there's something different about you, that's a compliment. It should be. Man, the way you talk, you don't talk like everybody else. How did you go through that trauma of a situation without losing your mind? Because of God. Because I would have been like DMX and lost my mind. Up in here. How you didn't snap when they snapped at you? Because I'm built different. I got the peace of God residing in my heart. Different. The resurrection changes everything, fam. And it even changes how we live our lives. And I just pray that we as the people of God will live up to the name of God. And when we walk out of these doors, when we log off online, when we go to work tomorrow, we live different. When we go home, we're in our neighborhood, we're different. We're the ones showing love to people when nobody else is showing love. We're the ones forgiving people when nobody else is showing forgiveness. We're the ones extending grace to people when nobody else is extending grace. We're the ones comforting people when nobody else is being comforted. We're the ones praying for people when nobody else is praying for them. We're the ones that are not running away from the fire. We run to it. Because we built different. I'm going to ask us all to stand to our feet in this moment. I believe that God has more for you. I believe that he has more for me. I believe he has more for all of us. We're different. Am I saying that you're not gonna have moments of lapses? No, you will. Peter was somebody who followed Jesus and denied him 3 times. But you know what Jesus did? He restored him, put him back on path to live according to truth. You and I are gonna have moments where we kind of relapse a little bit spiritually. You might kind of snap back into some old ways. I want you to understand that's part of the journey too. It's what the Bible calls sanctification. Day in day, God is making us more like Jesus. He's conforming us to the image of Christ. That's what this is all about. And I believe, church family, if we allow this word to be planted into our heart, that we're built different, if we allow this word to be planted into our heart, that we're abandoning vices and adopting the virtues of God, I believe this time next year, we will be able to look back and see all the growth that we've experienced because we've allowed the word of God to be planted in our hearts. I believe it. But it starts today. This is not a message of condemnation. No, this is more of a message of correction. But at its core, it's more of a message of conforming us and transforming us to the image of Christ. Because we're built different. So Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray. I pray that as we've heard your word, we're built different. That we would no longer live like our old selves, but that we will live the new life that you've given us. As you have given us the privilege of bearing your name, Jesus, we want to honor you with it, and we want to rep it right. We want to live according to your name and according to your word. In Jesus' name, my head's bowed and eyes are closed. If you're here today and you're saying, Pastor Edwin, I want to give my life to Jesus. Surrender my life to Jesus. Maybe for some of you, you're here today and you're a follower of Christ, but if you could be honest, you've drifted. You've kind of, some may call it backslid. You've kind of regressed a little bit spiritually, but today is the day where you're saying, but Pastor Edwin, I'm renewing my commitment today. I want to get back on track and I want to honor him. My head's about and eyes closed. If this is you in any way, shape, or fashion, I just want you to lift up your hand. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I just want to pray for you corporately in this moment. But if you're like, man, I want to renew my commitment, and I want to get back on track because I kind of fell off track. Just slip up your hand wherever you are. If you're online, I want you to raise your hand, put an emoji. Because I believe God wants to do something new in all of us. And if you raise your hand, you want to give your life to Christ, you want to renew your commitment to Christ, I want you to say these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you raised back to life to give me new life. Jesus, be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for new life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for forgiving me. I give you my life. I give you my soul. In your name I pray. And every person said amen. Come on, church family, let's put our hands together for those who said yes to Christ. Come on, let's do better than that online. Let's make some noise for them. Come on. Come on, Pastor Brian. Come on, close us out.
Church family, we have heard a word this morning, haven't we? Aren't you glad that Jesus has made you new, that you have been built differently? Aren't you glad that he is making you new? Right? That I'm not a finished work, but he is continuing to make me new. You know, I'm so thankful that God doesn't tell us to go and to be different, but he says that he's going to make us different. Right? We can't do it on our own. A dead person can't call themselves back to life, but Jesus is making us new. He put his and he put a family around us, his church around us, right? So if you just prayed that prayer with Pastor this morning, if you made a decision, we would love to know about it as your church family. We would love to come beside you and help you as you take your next steps. You can text I decided to 94,000. If you're here in the room with us this morning, you can fill out one of these cards. Let us know about that. Again, if you're new with us this morning, we would love to know that you're with us and celebrate with you as well. You can bring this card out to the next steps area in the lobby, or you can text us if you're joining us online this morning. We're so glad that God is at work in our midst. Is he not? He's at work, right? I told you at the start of service, I'm glad to be in God's house. I hope that you have been glad to be in God's house here today. He is doing some great things. You know, one of the ways that we are built differently as the people of God is that we value what God values. We put first the things of God. And as believers, one of the ways that we do that is with our generosity, right? We give our first and we give our best to God. If you're planning to worship God today through your giving, you can do that by scanning the barcode here on the back of the seat. If you're with us online, you can give on our website. But I just want to thank and appreciate everybody who participates in that. You make what happens here possible. You're participating in generosity. Thank you so much for that. If you're planning to give today, you can do that through those means. So again, I just want to thank you for being here this morning. Let's look to God one more time in prayer before we go our separate ways. Father, thank you so much for making us new. Thank you for the gift of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that in you I am a new creation. Lord, be with us as we go our separate ways. Lord, as we find ourselves in different situations throughout this week, I pray that we would be reminded of the words that we sang this morning, Lord, that you are for us. Oh, Lord, and if you are for us, who could be against us, Lord? So let us walk with that wisdom and that knowledge today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a fantastic week. God bless you.